Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Horizon.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Welcome once again, my friends. I am Jason Ophir with NW Paranormal. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. We have a special guest host tonight, Aaron Collins. He's been a host a few times before, and we're glad to have him in. He's also the co-founder of NW Paranormal. Aaron, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. Well, thanks for inviting me to come back on the show and guest host with you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show tonight. We have a great guest. We have Elise Wells, who is a psychic, and she has some abilities that include to predict past and present events. But before we get to her, there's a couple things that I wanted to talk about. Pat Rice, the regular co-host of the show, was unable to make it tonight. She's sick, but she might actually call in. So hopefully she does. I also want to throw out the chat room. If people are interested in chatting, they can go to www.beyondtheedgeofreality.com. And also check out the Paranormal Horizons Facebook page. That's just Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And also you can check out NW Paranormal on Facebook as well. And we've got several hundred people on the NW Paranormal Facebook. Ain't that right, Aaron?
Yes, we do. And like we talked the other day, it blows my mind how many members we actually have on our Northwest Paranormal. We started all those many years ago. There was just a few of us, and now there's over 540. So it's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that growth has been one man is responsible for that, and that is our friend Evan Jensen from Beyond the Edge of Reality, the other show I used to co-host, and we want to thank him for doing some promotion for our show as well. And also, there's one thing before we get to our guest that I wanted to talk about, which is there's an interesting UFO story out there. Hey, Aaron, are you hearing some weird, I'm hearing weird sounds?
I'm hearing a UFO somewhere. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there could be a UFO flying by. I'm hearing some weird clicking. But there it is. Do you hear it?
I think I do.
Anyway, hopefully the audio doesn't come across too bad. I'm hearing something there. But anyway, so there's a very scary story out there.
They're asking for you.
Oh, well, maybe they're going to come abduct me again. That's kind of frightening. I don't want to think about that. But there's a UFO story. Now, everybody, if you aren't prepping with your food and your water and your firearms and ammunition, you might want to, because I came across a story online that could be disturbing. Now, I can't attest to the validity of the story, but there was a man, supposedly, who worked for the NSA, who was called to a telescope, and I'm hearing an obnoxious echo. Hold on, we'll get this word right. Okay. Sorry, we're Aaron's with me tonight, and he's got a mic, so my
there's
voice
too much of an echo,
off.
So I'm going to sit on the stairs and do it. His, will it bother you? Okay.
Yeah, his voice is coming off, or my voice is coming off his mic. But anyway, so supposedly this NSA guy was at this telescope, and he was apparently there was a massive UFO fleet spotted heading towards the Earth. Now, it was way, way out there, but they followed this fleet of UFOs, and they were able to determine that they were three-dimensional craft, and they were black. The reason they knew they were black, my initial thought was that, how do you see something black floating through space? And apparently they had some pictures previously of the area, so they were able to track these large objects. They somehow were able to determine, and it's not really clear how they were, that they were consisted of metallic carbon-reinforced material. They must have scanned it somehow or whatever. But what's interesting is they do have some pictures of these craft. They are in the shape of an L, and the first thing that came to my mind was Tetris in space. That's what it looks like, a floating L. A giant floating L spaceship is flying out there in space. And yes, that is my spaceship sound effect. In January, the objects that were being tracked suddenly disappeared, and they were searching for them for a very long time. Eventually, they were able to locate the craft on or behind the moon, and they found one of these crafts in a giant crater on the moon, and the craft was the size of Chicago. Yeah, craziness. So for you people out there, if you're interested in looking at the photos of these giant Tetris-like spacecraft, you can go look at the show page, and I put the link on there. And so that's it for that story. We may be on the verge of an alien invasion, hopefully not. So, Aaron, what do you think about that? Do you think that they're going to come get us?
You know, I think I'm going to start stockpiling food and water at home just in case of possible abductions in the area. I don't want to be left behind by myself, so, you know, anything's possible, man. It's the world of the paranormal.
That's true. They could be out there, and, you know, I kind of hope they are. I mean, it would be terrifying, but it would be kind of awesome. I don't know. Maybe that's just my sick, twisted sense of reality, but... But, you know, there's been over the years a lot of talk and pictures of ancient structures on the moon and, you know, conspiracies about if we even landed on the moon. And so, yeah, who knows? Maybe they're out there watching us staging for an invasion.
You never know. They're finding new things all the time with advanced technology, and you never know.
Yep. So now, getting to our guest this evening, Aaron, now she is a friend of yours. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the guest that you found for our show this evening?
Well, I would love to. Elise and I go way back, and I've known her for many, many years now, and she's truly remarkable in her abilities. And I'm here to tell you she's blown my mind many times, including we had a conversation last night, and it just blew my mind how spot on she is with her abilities, and she just never ceases to amaze me. She's just a wonderful person outside of her psychic abilities, and it's truly an honor to have her be on the show.
Yes, I was excited to have her on the show. I'm looking forward to hearing her experiences, and so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring her through. Let's see here. Elise, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing good. I think we kind of worked out our little audio issue.
Our
Hi,
little,
Elise. How
our
are you
little
doing?
Echo. Good. How are you, Stuart?
I'm good.
Aaron.
So, Elise.
So,
yeah,
yes,
why don't you tell us a little bit about
away.
Yourself? Oh, I was going to say, yeah, why don't you give us a little intro?
Well, the psychic ability, you know, it started when I was young. And when I was younger, I didn't really understand it a lot. Saw a lot of dark shadows in the walls. You know, it didn't come to me that there was something odd until I was probably about 8 or 9. And then I had actually saw a spirit in the closet, and it was dark. And I asked her, you know, I thought it was my mom. So I said, Mom, and she said, yes. And I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm putting away your clothes. But I knew the room was dark. And so I got up and I went to my door and I saw a big black cat and I screamed. And my father came running and there was nothing there. And it was after that, I never slept the closet door open anymore. But it was kind of the starting of knowing that something was a little bit odd. And I, you know, could always predict somebody doing something and then they would do it. And I was always amazed by just observing people. But growing up with the ability was difficult in the sense that I had to, you know, I seemed unusual. And how could you know stuff like that? And I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know where it came from. It's been given, you know, but in my research, you know, my belief is that everyone has the ability. We just don't use the right senses to tap into it. You know, something that I've been working with Aaron and I hope to continue is teaching him to figure out what kind of gifts, because we all have gifts. So it's about honing in on that.
You know, Elise, I was just telling Jason prior to the show about you, you're really I owe the whole me being into a paranormal investigator and just my peaked interest in paranormal to you, because you were the one that had me go on my first ghost hunting experience, basically paranormal investigation, and you had talked to me about how, you know, just what you said a few minutes ago, that you believe that everybody has these abilities, and it's just a matter of tuning into that and learning how to use it and control it and such. And so it just fascinates me. And so I do have a couple of questions. One, going back to your childhood, when you saw these shadows and things like that, did you tell your parents, or is this something that you kept to yourself and figured out over time, or how did that come about? And what was the reaction if you did talk to them?
You know, my parents knew I was afraid of the dark, and it seemed to be when the lights were out that they would appear in the wall and just faces looking at you. And I would always be covering my head with a blanket. And mostly I really kept it to myself, you know. I stayed pretty hidden away because, you know, my mom was into astrology and had a crystal ball on the mantle. You know, we weren't. You know, I guess if anything, it wasn't necessarily witchcraft. It would have been like white magic, positiveness, good reinforcement, you know, nothing dark or cynical, nothing that she, you know, she would occasionally have a Ouija board out. But it was just, you know, she always reminded us it was just for fun. You know, Ouija board wasn't something we should take seriously. So,
right.
You know, my parents, I could talk to them about it. They were open to it. But I really felt confused about seeing this stuff and was just more terrified. So they understood it more as she's just scared of the dark. You know, kids make a wonderful portal for anything to, you know, come into. Kids are more perceptive to seeing and hearing things than even, you know, than adults are, because of how innocent their souls are.
Right. And did you, now you have children yourself, and so have you, in a sense, passed these abilities along to your kids? And if so, how has that affected them and you both?
Well, you know, I received, my mom is intuitive, but not, she's intuitive in different ways. And it actually took me till I was in my later years to discover that the gift had actually come from my father. Interesting story enough, my father was a very sickly baby, and my his family, you know, was Pentecostal, the Holy Rollers. And they had taken my father to the Pentecostal church and had him blessed. And as soon as they did that, he just, you know, perked up and just kept on going from there. And he became a very successful businessman. But the thing was that he never disclosed that he had an insight ability. He kind of used it as his weapon.
I suspected,
you know, as it goes, you know, yeah, we do tend to pass this genetic trait down. And so ever since my children were younger, I always kind of tried to ask them, you know, do you see things? My daughter, my oldest daughter, has the capability of seeing auras. Now, I can't, but she can, and she can see people's colors changing. And so I always made it an open thing for them to, you know, discuss it with me, to not be afraid, you know, that if they ever brought anything to me, like, Mom, I heard somebody talking, or Mom, I gave them little things to be looking for in the event that they did, and that it would be okay, and that, you know, I would be happy to talk to them about it. So far, my other two, they're a little too much enjoying life to be paying too much attention to what's going on the outer world. But my oldest is pretty perceptive of it. Sometimes she thinks she knows what somebody's thinking, but I always have to remind her people are changeable.
Right, right. Well, you know, you're talking about seeing people's auras, and I was watching a program years ago, and it was a ghost hunting type of show, and they actually were interviewing a particular gentleman, and they had one of those FLIR thermal cameras on him as well as a regular video camera, and all of a sudden you can see these brilliant colors through the thermal camera radiating off of this gentleman while he was talking during this interview. It was amazing, and I'm wondering if that's similar to what she sees.
You know, I think so, because I've been told that when I walk into a room, people can sense my presence. You know, and it's not just about sensing a presence, whether they've passed or whether they're alive. You know, we all display a certain amount of energy, and we have the ability to keep that energy closer to us or more spread out. And we can literally bounce off of people. And I think that's a lot of times where people will say, you know, you're in my space. You're in my bubble. You know, is that they're saying this layer of energy that we're dispersing out of our bodies, you know, you're encroaching on that. And she just has the ability to have whatever reflect off of that. And be able to see. Yeah, I do a lot more of the sensing. You know, I sense how a person's feeling. One of the things we were talking about last night, you know, what are your abilities? You know, doing the medium, that's kind of takes me into a different one because I channel in. But doing, like, the past and the present readings, you know, those are really easy for me because I get pictures in my head. But the other thing that I learned how to do as I got older was, I'm trying to remember what the word was for it, but it's body scanning, basically. There's a medical term for doing it, and you go through and you can actually process and see where hot spots are. I think, and I've done that for you before too, and see where
you did. And the remarkable thing about that was I wasn't in the same room as you. This was over the phone, and I was amazed that you had pinpointed some health issues that I was having that I didn't talk to you about. And that just fascinates me.
Yeah, a lot of it, how I do it is that I kind of hone into the spirit of what I think the person is, kind of their body. And then wherever I start pointing to myself on my body is usually what it is. And a lot about, you know, learning how to utilize this ability is also learning how to trust yourself. You know, as a child, I thought, do I have to go to religion or do I have to, you know, I was always very conflicted because my parents weren't religion. But if we wanted to go to church, we could go to church. But the one thing that people used to say to me, you know, what do you believe in? And I said, well, and they said, what? No, and I mean, like, you know, God, like, are you, what kind of religion are you? And I said, you know, I can't pick one, but I believe in me. And they say, well, that's the strangest thing. And you know, that's the truth, though, is if you have the confidence in you and you know that you're feeling these things and you know that there's something a little odd about it, it's trusting those. A lot of times people will, you know, feel those things and they terrify them, so they drink themselves to death or they use drugs or, you know, to try to kind of put those feelings that are coming through, like, this is odd, I shouldn't feel this way, this isn't normal. Mm-hmm. But in fact, what's happening is their inner eye is opening up.
Right.
So I have a caller, and I believe it's Pat Rice, my co-host. Let me bring her through real quick and just check here. Pat, is that you?
It's not. It's a caller who was hoping to talk to Elise, but I can hang on.
No. Elise, can you take question now?
Absolutely.
Hi, Elise. I'm listening to the show. Fascinated. Just wondering, I'm not sure how you work, if I ask a question or you just do a general or what's best.
Well, thank you for asking that because, you know, everybody does it a little bit differently. You know, less information is always better for me. So, you know, if you have just more of a general question, then I'll get around to it. I always say, don't ask something you don't want to know.
Well, okay. Curious what you get around a job change.
A job change for you?
Yeah.
You've got a lot of different things on the plate here. There's a particular job change that you want to do that possibly involves some schooling, though. Is that correct?
When I change, I'd like to take some classes, yeah.
Okay. You know, I get that where you've been has been it's been a security for you, but you're not feeling as secure as, you know. I think everybody wants to come to work and feel loved and feel appreciated, and I get the feeling that you definitely are ready for some change. It's a matter of deciding. You seem like you're a very long-term, you know, you make a commitment to a company and you like to kind of stay with it. So you don't want this to be a stepping stone kind of thing. You'd like to be more of a permanent. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I'm kind of in between, right? So the last company I was at was 7 years, and this company is, I don't think is a fit, so I'm looking to change.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I always say about people doing job changes, and this might apply for you, is that, you know, a lot of things that we send out to the universe, relationships included, you know, we tend to stay in patterns, and we don't take the opportunity to really write down and manifest that energy to the universe of what we really want to do. You know, you settled for something that wasn't what you would have wanted to do as a child. You know, what your dream job was. And you've been there, and you've done a wonderful job in what you're doing, but it wasn't the dream, you know. So believing in the fact that you have the ability to be able to go out and capture that dream and writing these things down, you know, what do I like? What do I want to do? You know, we think our job is just as much as how much we sleep. So it should be something that we can find some enjoyment in. I sense that you may want to look into getting the schooling so that the next job doesn't become a stepping stone but becomes something that you would permanently want to do. Does that seem like something that might work for you, that you can get that in?
Yeah, I'm just looking to change. So I was kind of hoping to change and then do the schooling rather than do the schooling and, you know, so they would pay for the schooling.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of companies are tightening down on that. You know, so it's a matter of getting what you want, you know, and knowing what you want and feeling real firm on that. And I know that if you send that energy out, that you say, hey, you know, I want a job in this. I get that it's that the kind of work that you do. I mean, I'm seeing an office. I'm seeing cubicles. I'm seeing lots of things. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, you know, I think that one of the things is that when we go into an environment of where we work, you've got a couple of spoilers there at work for you that are making your position not feel so comfortable as it used to feel. is what I'm gathering. And, you know, it's about communication, and it's about confronting those things and making our environment comfortable with having that confidence of knowing that you're still doing the best job that you can. So, you know, you can. Now, again, you know, we all have free will. So, you know, if you did nothing and just listened to what I, you know, just went on about your business, you know, you'd make these changes accordingly. But, you know, one of the benefits I have in life is being able to offer somebody a shorter pathway. And that shorter pathway enables us to get to our goals faster. And, you know, you can say, okay, well, hey, you know, even though I know the schooling part is going to take, you know, 5-6 months longer because you really want to make that transition right now, but you don't necessarily have to go that way. There's not going to be a downside. It's just going to be a lot of change. And you have a real hard time with change like that. And it can be very stressful and overwhelming.
Okay.
Does that sound good? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I guess I was just questioning if you saw anything coming up, you know, in the next 3 months or so.
Well, I definitely do see you're going to have a lot of opportunities on the table. I think you're going to do a lot of him-hawing about them. So I really think the most important thing is writing down exactly what you want to do, you know, and what's the kind of job that would make you happy for the rest of your life? You know, what could you retire into? Because you're an organizer and a planner. But I think that this is kind of, you know, this is kind of throwing you up in a little bit of an uproar. So it's like this indecisive feeling, this uncomfortable feeling of going to work, it doesn't feel good every day. You know, and it's probably causing some illness, and it's probably causing some heavy heart, you know. And so, yeah, it might be important to quickly get into a different change, but you're still going to have to go through the stresses of understanding the company, starting to work with the people, and then you might feel guilty because you tend to absorb, you know, you're a very caring person, so you absorb those of us around you and feel obligated to stay. I think that's the reason why I'm saying if you consider changing your outlook on your everyday coming into work and making it work because you're going to get to a bigger goal by doing schooling first, and then you're going to be able to kind of just blend yourself into a good company and stay there. Or you can choose the other path, which is getting something changed immediately, and you'll be able to, but this isn't going to be something you're going to want to do long term. But my worry is that you'll feel guilt and you'll stay there longer than you should have.
Right, right. Just quick, my last quick question is, is there a way that you would suggest to manifest the right thing?
Yeah, just, you know, you can send that out to the universe. If you're a praying or a godly kind of person, you can give that to your God, you know, writing things down, you know, and write it down in detail. Don't miss a step. You know, I want this wage. Exactly. Because when we start to put that out there, we're saying what we're worth. And you're worth a lot, so you deserve to have a lot back. And, you know, I'm not kidding you. I did it myself. I got into a relationship, you know, and I had destructive relationship after destructive relationship, and I thought, what in the world is going on here? And I started doing some reading, and I wrote down exactly what I wanted from a man. And I kid you not, he showed up at my door, exactly, to my list. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's kind of like one of those things, a secret. But, you know, hey, give it a shot, right?
Absolutely.
Don't settle for less.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. You have a wonderful night.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. So, you know, a lot of the things that you're mentioning, Elise, is kind of follows a lot of what I believe, which is the power of intention, you know. What we put out there, what we desire, you know, tends to come to us because we are putting that energy out there. I've noticed that a lot in my life where things that I want that seem to be unobtainable end up coming to me through weird channels.
It's not me, it's the aliens.
Yeah. It could be. So, you know,
tell
I was
Aaron
wondering
to stop shuffling around over there.
I'm getting antsy.
Find your spot. Find your spot.
Oh no, I'm sitting still. So I have a question for you, Elise.
Yeah.
If you could for the listeners, if you could explain the difference between psychic and a medium.
Sure.
Okay.
A medium is someone who has the ability to be able to channel those. And now I never use the word dead because there's an old theory out there somewhere that it is said that we are actually the ones that are dead, and those that are we consider dead are actually the living. And we're actually the ones that are in hell, and they're actually the ones that are in heaven.
Wow.
So, you know, I always say those who have passed on or those who aren't with us in presence. But what happens for me on that is, and it's real weird, I kind of got that John Edwards kind of flow, you know, like it's like I'm picking up somebody in a red sweatshirt, you know. And it can be grandma, mother, aunt, uncle, and sometimes it gets confusing because somebody's saying, you know, hey, can you tell me what my dad's saying? And sometimes it'll go through like four people before it finally gets to dad, you know, and they're going, no, no, that's not it. And I'm like, just hang in there, you know. They'll come forth. And it's the weirdest thing, though. And I've actually at times, people have told me my voice changes, which that's a little, you know, that I can hear them, or I'll hear them laughing, or I'll hear them, and they'll say, well, tell them, you know, so-and-so. I think we did that one time for your sister, and we had to find something. It was an item. Jewelry.
Right, right.
And,
yep.
And we had to tap into getting, you know, asking some questions from those that are on the other side and to find some of the answers. But then the psychic ability part of it, you know, somebody can say, I'm able to go back and see sometimes, unfortunately, tragedy, sometimes, you know, what kind of was the stem to somebody having, you know, alcohol problems or drinking problems, you know, or to be able to see people's future, you know, are they going to have a baby? Are they going to get married? Are they going to, you know, just like our last caller, you know, are you going to be successful in a job? Those kind of things. A lot of things with business. You know, am I working with the right partner? Should I get out? You know, and now, unfortunately, and I really wish I had this ability, was, you know, being able to predict the Super Bowl. You know, but I can't.
Me too, if I was going to put a wager on it, but, you know.
Nothing that ever came from gambling or winning
right.
some sort of lottery has never worked for me.
Well,
but,
okay.
yeah.
So,
you know,
so as far as the mediumship, now, the way I, now, of course, in my mind, this is how I picture it, but correct me if I'm wrong, but do you walk into a room and you just see a room crowded full of people who have passed on? Or,
you know,
I have
never honored them terrifying me.
Okay.
I can, you know, because that part does terrify me. You know, it's like if you, you know, I see dead people. No, I don't see dead people. I hear those. You know, I can hear people, and people will send me messages, you know, tell so-and-so, blah, 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 you know, and tell them I love them. Tell them it wasn't their fault. Tell them. You know, but I don't. I can feel them. I've been known to cry during a time where somebody's been talking through me. I can feel them, and I can get a picture of them in my head. And you know, one time I had somebody who had asked me, you know, I really want to. We were talking about something else, but her grandmother came through. And I said, what is it with the red sweatshirt, that's like the Christmas sweatshirt? And she goes, that's what we buried Grandma in. And I said, well, Grandma's interested in the conversation we're having right now. So, you know, we talked on that for a little bit. But it's very interesting who likes to come through. And sometimes it can be just the strangest thing. You know, it can be like an aunt or an uncle, somebody you wouldn't think in. Sometimes I'll get a name and they'll be like, no, I don't. And I say, come on, think out of the box here, you know.
Right.
And they'll go, oh, wait a minute. You know what? My dad did have a brother who died when he was just such age. And I go, okay, well, there we go. You know, we find the connection somewhere sometimes. But, you know, that is the thing with reading. It does, sometimes it doesn't always come out exactly, you know. A person who's getting a reading needs to have a little bit of patience and a very open mind, you know, to be receiving that.
So I have just a quick personal question. There's a person in my life who has passed on who I feel is with me a lot, and I could there's a certain smell and feeling and really just overall feeling in a room that reminds me of this particular person. Is that something? Can you tell me who this might be?
Well, you know, the first thing that pops into my head is a man, kind of a beer belly, you know, balding. It could be somebody he's associated with. Although, you know, the interesting part about a smell is that's one of our inner, you know, we've got our sight, our smell, our hearing, you know, all of these senses are our third eye. So smelling something or someone can actually, there's a lot of scientific study on that that can promote. And, you know, we do. I do believe that they're constantly around us. You know, they will suddenly cause us to make this. I'm deterring from because I'm reading. I'm trying to see if you can. It's a man. Is it a man?
Yes.
No, it's a woman. It is a man. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
I'm getting like grandfather.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So and am I right on the description? Shorter kind of guy.
The balding and the beer belly. Yes.
Okay.
Shorter,
okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not a very tall man though.
No.
But back problems. Did he have back problems later in life?
Yes.
Like an arthritis or kind of a degenerative kind of condition?
Yes.
Because I'm getting a lot of curve is what I'm getting, kind of more of a hunched over.
Yes.
So, okay. So that's that. So then, okay, again, it's explaining about how the readings go. I see short, but there's a reason. You know, maybe he wasn't, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's like, I see short, but the reason he seems shorter to me is because I'm envisioning him hunched over more.
Right, okay.
So, yes, he might have been a tall man. He, in the time frame that I'm seeing him, and I keep seeing him, you know, he kind of reminds me of, like, the white T-shirts, you know, always wore a belt.
Oh, my gosh.
Wrangler jeans or, you know, I think it's probably like Wranglers. I'm going to go with Wranglers. That's going to be my final answer. Or
okay.
Levi's. You know, he's a blue jean kind of a. And, you know, woodworking. A lot of wood. Clocks. Did he like clocks?
Clocks?
This is when it becomes interesting because, you know, if one comes through, they all start to come through. And then somebody goes,
right.
Hey, clocks! You know, so we have to pick and choose.
It's interesting that you say that because when he passed away, the watch that he was... No, it was a wristwatch that he was wearing stopped working at the moment that he passed on.
Okay,
and
but did his father have a pocket
mind.
Watch?
His father?
Yeah.
That
if
I don't know.
Do you own a pocket watch from somebody?
Actually, my mom has a pocket watch that he had given her. And my mom and I were just talking about it the other day.
Okay. Thank you. I couldn't figure out why, but he kept showing me pocket watch.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny, they show me items. So then I have to kind of do, you know, I have to kind of do the math on that, you know, is what do we got for an item here? What's it? I don't always know what it means. So then, you know,
right.
in my confidence of doing this, I've just learned to just ask, you know.
Right. Right.
And a lot of times people go, well, no. And I'm like, think harder. you know, because they don't
right.
they don't show me things for no reason. You know, it's
right.
just trying to figure out where it places in.
Right.
So how is your mom dealing with his passing?
Well, it's been a long time. It's been since 1980. Yeah, 1984. There's not a day that that we don't think about him.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about him often. I've been bringing him up a lot more because I have felt him around me more. And I was 14 when he passed away. And he was, I mean, truly, he was my best friend. And I spent a lot of time with my grandfather. And so he obviously died at a young age. And it was, I was young at the time. And I was devastated. And really, I kind of blamed myself in a weird way because 2 days prior to him passing away, he and I took a road trip together. And he was very sick, but he thought he had the flu. And I asked him, and why it's haunted me all these years, but he had brought up Bing Crosby and some of these greats, you know, that were from his time period and that he absolutely loved. And I asked him about when did they die and things like that. And then I looked at him and I said, Grandpa, when do you think you're going to die? And he said, well, hopefully not for a long time. And 2 days later, he died. And I, for the longest
wow.
time, of course, mind you, I was 14. And so for many, many years, I thought if I hadn't asked him that question, maybe there was a chance that he wouldn't have died when he did. And
no.
It sounds so silly, but, I mean, I carried that weight for so many years. Even into adulthood, I still thought and blamed myself a lot of times. So.
No, you can't. You can't hold on to that stuff, you know, because we have a very specific plan. I mean, my mom
right.
used to tell me, and she used to say, you know, we pick our own names, as crazy as that sounds, you know, that we have some sort of idea when we're coming. I believe in reincarnation, and, of course, there's those out there that don't. But I don't know that I – how do you know so much information with the way our brain looks if you take it out of there, you know?
Right.
So we've got some sort of spirit within us. And we also pick our things that we want to accomplish in life, and whether those be hard or whether those be easy or whether those be to, you know – have cancer and, you know, but also our job through life is what we can help others through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we tend to do as humans is we tend to take everything personally. And
yeah.
it's all about us and it's all about me. And, you know, even when you're having a conversation with somebody, you're thinking about how does this relate to me? How does this relate to me? What kind of story do I have that I can throw into this conversation? And the truth of the matter is there's a lot of things in life that have nothing to do with you. You know,
right.
the thing that I would say the most, though, is that this may have been a period of time where your intuitiveness popped out. You knew.
Mm. Yeah.
You knew.
But you know, and that's funny you say that because something else, and I don't know if I ever told you this, but when he passed away, the family were at the hospital, and once he passed away, they gave the family an opportunity to come back and say our last goodbyes and stuff. And so I, as devastated as I was one of the first ones to want to go back there. And my uncle stopped me, and he said, you don't want to go in there. He said, you want to remember him the way he was. And
yeah.
I was mad, okay, because he was my grandpa. He was my best friend. And, I mean, I adored him and looked up to him and idolized him in many ways. He was just a superior person, you know, and so I was a little upset. Now, of course, later in life, I was glad that I didn't. The problem is, or the weird thing is, Jason, I don't even know if I told you this, even though I did not go back there to say my last goodbyes, I never heard anyone describe what they saw when they went back there, but I can tell you to a T exactly what he looked like with laying on the bed, the tubes that were in, you know, I mean, I can describe the entire situation in that room, and I never stepped foot in that room. But it came to me right after he died, and I was still in the hospital with my family, and I was in shock, you know, obviously, and because this was unexpected, this was sudden, but I can tell you exactly what I saw, even though I wasn't even in the room, and so...
Yeah, you know, really, I've, you know, not to get too much into my own life here, but, you know, I have had the opportunity of seeing people pass. And it's an amazing thing. And, you know, I've been in the presence of someone who's passed and had my hand on their chest. And it's, you know, it's like watching a TV show and it's a mummy. You know, it's, you know that that's their vessel. But the spirit around the room is amazing. It can make your hair stand up. You know, so it really tells us their vessel doesn't really do us justice for the energy that we have. And we can be anywhere to receive that. You don't, you know, you can be sitting on a park bench and call out to grandpa and, you know, the wind blows and you go, wow. And you knew it, you know, it was him. You know, so it's having that faith that, you know, it's just a vessel. I mean, it's unfortunate because we should honor, whether it scares us or not, we should honor if somebody wants to see that. You know, sometimes they need to see that. But the fact of the matter is that whether it's your God or whether it's a higher spirit or being or anything like that, you know, we don't have to be in a church and we don't have to be in a certain place. We can be anywhere. We can be anywhere to receive that.
Wow. So maybe you can tell some of the listeners who may feel that they have, you say everyone has these abilities, but maybe someone is seeing the shadows as you did when you were a child, and they're really nervous about it, but they want to do something about it. What kind of advice could you give somebody who was in that same situation as you or similar as you as a child?
Well, one more thing I want to touch on your grandfather, and it ties into this question you have here, is that a lot of times we will have, you know, somebody kind of pinging at us. Let's just use that word, pinging. You know, he's kind of poking at you. Hey. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get your attention to notice something, whether it's your health, whether it's your lifestyle, whether it's, you know, he's kind of saying, hey, you know, Junior, listen to me here. You know, and so he's pinging at you. A lot of times we can invite, you know, the wrong kind of energy into us. And, you know, that's really about changing your attitude. It's about saying, you know, I'm no longer going to. Gossip is a perfect example of negative energy. You know, and the more we gossip and the more that we put out there, it's just kind of like a black tar that kind of just seeps into everything. And all of a sudden we start to notice that things in life are not going right. We're seeing kind of bad things. We feel kind of bad energy. You know, some of the things that I do, I have at my house, I have a crystal placed in each corner of my property. And that keeps out, because I'm such a portal, which let me explain that real quick, is a portal means that you are just kind of an open person into receiving all kinds of information. And they know that. And so they see your weaknesses and they can go in and kind of leech onto you. I've got a cousin who does some special, he's a Reiki and massage person, and he's a lot more, you ought to have him on the show one of these times, but he is definitely about the ooey-gooey spirits that attach to us, that hold on to us, that we have to get off of us because of our energy, because of the choices that we're making in life. But, you know, a lot of times these things are being shown to us is because it's what we're doing in our life. So we then need to relook at our life and say, you know, what kind of, it can also be associated to a person. Let's say you start dating somebody and you just notice things just start falling apart. You know, weird stuff's happening. You know, it can be from, you know, you and I were talking about that last night. It can be from somebody who's even a roommate, you know, and the energy and the toxicness that some people do have, and that can seep off into our world. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful about the people that we put our energy around. And the toxicness that we allow into our lives and the gossip and the, you know, the meddling, you know, and change that environment. A lot of times, too, I'll stage my home just every once in a while, kind of like a spring cleaning. And you go through and you sage the windows, you sage the door, you just kind of take this, and you would be real careful you don't try to catch the curtains on fire, because that's not a good, that doesn't work out very good.
All right.
But, and I'm only speaking from experience.
Okay.
But you go through and you bring that into the corners of each room, and then you take it out, you know, you kind of go in a circle motion, like say you start kind of from the garage door, just work your way around into the bedrooms, into the doorways, and then you walk yourself out to the front door, and you sage it first, sage around it, and then you walk through it, and then you sage on the outside of it, and then you sage around yourself.
Hmm.
And it's a kind of a cleansing, you know, getting kind of that negative energy off of you. And then, of course, putting yourself around people who promote positiveness. You know, we don't want anybody in our lives that are toxic.
So we have a few minutes left here. And one question that I had that I think that the listeners would be interested in what you have to say about it is, do you see anything seriously happening with the Fukushima situation or any major, like, earth changes?
Boy, I tell you, went up to the mountain this weekend. There was no snow. I definitely have some very high concerns on the way the environment is changing. You know, I got to tell you, I've been watching that show Ancient Aliens, and boy, they got some interesting stuff on there. You know, it does kind of make sense how the things were built. You know, how the heck could we lift those big stones? But I do see a lot of environmental changes. I do think, though, I think kind of like what you were saying at the beginning of the show was that, you know, this might not be something we see in our lifetime, you know, but we're definitely burning this world up, you know. But I do believe that we have come from another world, in the sense that our spirit floats freely, but we do create life on another planet. So interesting enough, you know, we've got things going on at the moon. We've got Kiefer. That's another planet that they found with the Kiefer telescope that actually has water. So, you know, to think that we're all alone here is pretty naive. I'm thinking we're not. And I think that, you know, it's going to be some time, probably not within any of our lifetimes, even the youngest listeners. But I think eventually we'll burn this place up. And but we'll find another place. I think there'll be another place that we've been preparing ourselves to go. I think, you know. But we're going to see some interesting stuff. We're definitely going to see some interesting stuff.
Well, I know that for me, that based on some of my experiences, I'm pretty confident in saying that we are not alone. Everybody knows, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator. I do the ghost thing on occasion, but I'm really more of the UFO guy.
Junkie.
So.
We'll just call you a UFO junkie.
Yeah, pretty much a UFO junkie. But so we only got a couple minutes, and I wanted to make sure that we gave you an opportunity to let the listeners know how they can get in contact with you, a Facebook, website, or if you want people to get in contact with you.
Absolutely. You know, I'm linked to this. I believe that Aaron linked me up to the site. So I think people can go onto the site and they can find my Facebook page, and it's got an email, and they're welcome to contact me. You know, before in my past, I didn't, you know, I had such a rant. This is why I said amongst friends, because it's always been something, but, you know, Aaron has told me that I need to really get out there and, you know, share this gift. So, you know, we're working on the steps to that, but I'd love to hear from people and definitely do my best to try to respond and hopefully be able to come back on the show and, you know, have more listeners call in. And
that would be awesome. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on the show and agreeing to do this. And I think you're doing the right thing by taking the first step and getting you out there and letting people hear about you. And I think you have a lot to offer a lot to offer a lot of people. And so I'm excited you agreed to do this. So thank you,
Absolutely.
Elise. I appreciate it.
No, thank you
yes.
so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. And,
we'll
appreciate
have to,
it.
Jason, I understand we're going to have to get out there and go do some ghost hunting. Aaron has
yeah.
told me that we've got some jobs to go do. It should be
Absolutely.
Pretty fascinating. We can take the
yes.
radio on the road.
There you
okay.
go.
Okay. He's been bugging me. And you know, the listeners probably don't know this, but I've really gotten more into the online radio thing and have devoted zero energy to ghost hunting, but I think you guys are going to talk me into going out on some more cases.
Absolutely.
We'll take the radio with us.
Exactly.
Well,
we were
talking about that.
Radio
Definitely.
Live.
And Elise, we'd like you to be a part of that too, but we can talk about all that later.
Absolutely, yeah, you know, but we'll have to make sure it's a radio show that's not about us all screaming like babies, you know. Like, did you hear that? And the listeners are going, no. Did you see that?
Jason,
of course they didn't see it.
That'll be me.
Jason, how much time do we have?
Well, we have time. I'm trying to...
Okay, can I tell a brief story?
Sure.
Okay, and this involves you, Elise. And so I'm going to put you on the spot and embarrass you for a second, but like I said before, it was because of you that got me into the whole paranormal investigations by allowing me to help you with the first investigation I ever did. And so we went out to this property, and long story short, we were investigating the house. And then afterwards, I think you were being led to the little pond. Do you remember
yeah.
that outside
yeah.
the house? And so here we are. It's a pitch black, and I think we might have had a flashlight. And I'm following you, and we're kind of walking down this little bitty trail towards this pond. And then all of a sudden, something leaps in front of you, and you start screaming, and you turn around and you run. And it was a frog.
Yeah.
We're inside investigating, you know, a real haunting, and you jump and run and scream because of a frog. It was hilarious. I loved it. Anyway, sorry, I had to just throw that in.
You know, I was hoping that you were going to say it was a cat.
So you need a sound effect.
That'll do it too,
Come
though.
On. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Hopefully next time we can get couple more people, you know, get some phone calls in and see if I can change
definitely.
A couple of people's worlds.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. We'll have you back on and we'll get more people to call in. The show was kind of a last minute show. I didn't schedule it until yesterday. So I'm going back to the show format of Tuesdays at 7 and going to keep it that way until further notice. So if anybody wants to continue to follow the show, it should always be at Tuesday at 7. So,
Elise, could you do you have an email address you'd like to throw out there real quick?
You know, I told you I was in my secret location. I don't have, what is it? My email is, hold on,
Elise,
I know the answer.
I think it's elisewells@mail.com. Is that correct?
There you go. That's correct.
Okay.
So
of course, I can't remember what I wore yesterday, but I can remember that email address. So I don't know why.
elisewells@mail.com. Yeah.
Perfect.
But yeah, link up to the paranormal site as well, and you'll find me on there, and
awesome.
You can write. I'll watch the site too, and you know, I'll write comments as well. So.
Awesome. Well, it's always a pleasure talking
cool.
to you, Elise. And again, thank you. And you have a good night.
All right. You guys, too.
Right.
Take care.
Good night.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All righty. So we have a few minutes. I always schedule these shows a little bit longer so that we can talk a little bit after the guest. We had a comment in chat about some news about a UFO blocking out the moon. And I think he sent me the link to my Facebook page, so I'm going to check that out. I mean, can you imagine going outside, Aaron, and suddenly there's no moon, but there's like some big black object in front of it? And, you know, this kind of ties in with what I was talking about earlier. So this is weird. I think we're having issues again because I hear you outside talking, but I don't hear it in my headphones. I don't know if you're going through or not. I don't know what the deal is with that. But anyways, we are always going to be striving to improve the quality of the show. I'm going to be getting some more equipment and so it sounds better and we don't run into these issues. We definitely want to thank all the listeners for listening and for coming to the show on short notice. We will be back, like I said, at Tuesdays at 7. So next Tuesday, I don't know who the guest is going to be. I'm going to work on Archbishop Ron Fail and see if he can come on next week or the week after because we want to spend some time talking about demons, which is my most favoriteest subject. How do you like that for English? Anyways, we want to thank Elise for coming on and talking about her abilities. And thanks for the caller calling in. We always like to have callers call in. And that was kind of fun to listen to. And again, you can check us out on Paranormal Horizons on Facebook and NW Paranormal on Facebook as well to keep abreast of what we're doing. And we always post the show links on there. And with that, are you there, Aaron? Are you back through? No, his audio has died. I think it's the spirits of the aliens. God, what if I get abducted tonight? What if there's like some strange electromagnetic anomaly going on and they're going to come pick me up? I hope not. Yeah, that was obnoxious. Alrighty, so thanks again, everybody, for coming and listening to the show. And I'm going to close with a little promotion from a best-selling author. I can't even talk now anymore. Best-selling author Edwin Becker. Thanks, everybody, for coming, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells the story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.